All right, Steve Palmer here with another episode of Lawyer Talk. What's the appeal? A couple things first. Check us out at lawyertalkpodcast.com. If you've got a question or topic you want us to cover, you can submit it there or go to any of the socials. We're on YouTube and people are following our other content, which includes a couple other series like They Don't Teach You That in Law School, some breakdowns. Anyway, check it out. A lot of great content. The What's the Appeal series, the idea here is I do criminal defense work and there's a lot of folks who call me, and I focus a lot on sort of the post-conviction appellate realm. And I'm doing a series here just to break it down and describe to people how that works. And today I'm going to talk about oral arguments and what they are and what they aren't. And those who have followed the series know that I've talked about the direct appeal, and I always use the analogy of different ladders. So now I'm talking about on each ladder, whether it's on the post-conviction side or habeas corpus in some states, or on the direct appeal side, there's always a ladder. And eventually that ladder leads to an oral argument, or most of the time an oral argument with the Court of Appeals. Now, what happens at an oral argument? First of all, what doesn't happen at an oral argument? There are no witnesses called. It's not like the prosecutor is going to call witnesses or the alleged victim or the cops who testified against the individual during the trial, and we get to ask them questions. That's not what this is. And I'm not saying this to oversimplify it, but a lot of people get confused. People think, all right, it's an appeal. I'll get to retry the case, or there'll be witnesses called. It doesn't happen that way. What we've done on the direct appeal, and really on by the time we get to the oral argument phase, we have presented to the Court of Appeals. We have talked to the Court of Appeals about, in writing, about where the mistakes are, where we believe the courts below, the trial court below, made a legal error. They didn't admit evidence that they should have admitted, or they admitted evidence that they shouldn't have admitted, or maybe the lawyers made a mistake that amounted to ineffective assistance of counsel, or any of a multitude of other problems that could occur. And we're at the oral argument talking to, in Ohio here at the direct appeal, typically a three-judge panel. So there's more than three that sit on the various courts of appeal, but three of them are assigned to hear the case, and they sit up sort of high and mighty on their bench, and they listen to the arguments. And if I'm the person who appealed, I'm the appellant or the defendant who's appealing, I get to go first, and I say, if it please the court, I'm going to talk to you about the mistakes that happened below, and then I explain to them why I think there was a mistake. It's not just a recitation, at least I don't make it just a recitation about what we argued in writing in our legal briefs. That's boring, and with all due respect, the courts can read that anyway. They don't need me to regurgitate that. I try to put meat on the bone. I try to give it a little bit of personality. I try to make it real. I try to explain to them in a compelling way why I think we're right, and most important, why I think we should win. You know, there's this notion that the circumstances and facts behind it aren't as important because, after all, it's a legal argument and we're here to talk about academic stuff. But I firmly believe that if you're going to win your appeal at all, it's an uphill fight no matter where you are, but if you're going to win your appeal, you have to be able to point out the inequities. Now, I'm not talking about equity as getting used in today's day and age. I'm talking about things that don't seem fair or right about the trial. In other words, you have a lot better chance of winning an appeal if we can explain to the court in a way that convinces them. Sometimes I can try to convince them, look, we may have gotten it wrong down here. My client might actually be innocent, not guilty at all. Or not. If I can't bridge that gap, then I can at least try to explain why, if we let this stand, if we let this kind of mistake stand, it's got a bigger problem. It's not fair. If we apply the same mistake here in perpetuity going forward, then there's a bigger issue that applies beyond this case. And that's certainly what we're going to be doing if we get to the next step at the Ohio Supreme Court. So the oral argument is rather quick, and I get 15 minutes. I would typically reserve a couple of minutes for rebuttal. I get to talk. The state or the prosecutor gets to talk, and then I get to rebut. Often you get a judge panel that will interrupt. They'll ask us questions. I like that because through the Q&A process, it's a very compelling way to advocate for your client. A great exercise, if you're at all curious, is to go Google it and listen to and or watch U.S. Supreme Court arguments. I think you can only listen to them. I do this from time to time. I'll go, if I'm reading a U.S. Supreme Court decision, out of curiosity, and maybe I'm just a geek, I like to go listen to the oral arguments, even back in history. It's sort of fascinating, and that'll give you a good flavor of what it's like. Anyway, what's the appeal oral argument today? If you've got your own question beyond appellate work, or even if it's about the appeal process, check us out at lawyertalkpodcast.com. Check out the other series, too. What's the appeal? Until next time. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.